Amen. Help us, Jesus.
All right. Psalm 130, if you could, just turn there real quick. I want you to read along with me, Psalm 130. I'm not going to sing it. I don't know it. I don't know how it will be sung, but I'm going to read it because I believe there's some. Look, it's the word of God. It's not going to return void. If I'm quoting something verse by verse out of the King James Bible, it's not going to return void.
Right.
It's what that person does with it.
Amen.
That's what makes the difference. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 130, and I'm not going to preach here, but you know, sometimes it just busts out that way. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. How many are in that position today? They're in the depths, they're lost, and they're trying to cry unto the Lord. And it says, Lord, hear my voice, and let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. My friends, is he not hearing your voice? Is he not attentive to it? Do you believe that? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And I found that quite fascinating, because if God would have took any of my sins and put a dot next to it, he would have not forgiven me for that, and I'd be lost and got going to hell today. But you know what? He doesn't mark our iniquities.
Amen.
Forgive them.
Amen.
All right. That's how we're able to stand, brother. It's because he does not mark our iniquities. He forgives them. What a wonderful God we have.
Amen.
Look at it says here. Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee.
Yes.
Now thou mightest be feared. What a wonderful God. Hey, I walked around this earth not afraid of a single person on this planet. They used to tell me, hey, you got to have a fear of God before you can say, I ain't afraid of God. Let me tell you this right now. I get on my knees and I lay out and listen, I'm more afraid of God than I've ever been afraid of anything on this earth. Why? Because he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. I know what he can do. A fear, it's a good thing to have a reverence towards a holy God.
Right.
It's a good thing to have a fear. Why? Because it makes me not want to go out there and do the things that I used to do.
Amen.
Look at it says in verse 5, I wait for thee, Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his what? His word.
Yeah.
Do I hope. Where's your salvation going to come from, my friends? According to 1 Peter, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the word of God, the perfect word of God, not just any word,
that's right.
God's word.
Man.
I wonder why people can't get saved. They're trying to get saved out of another word. You know, Paul warned us real quick. You said it, brother, Isaiah chapter 14. The devil said, I'll be like the Most High God. And Paul warned us. He said, some come preach another gospel.
Yeah.
With another spirit. Look at the other gospels, those other perversions that are out there. That's a whole other gospel.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Salvation comes by God's word.
That's right.
God's word. Look at what it says here. Where does this? Where, I wait for thee, O Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. Verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. My friends, when's the last time you sat up in prayer in agony over your soul until that sun has risen, until that sun has went back down? But no, you walk out of here, you say a few prayers, you get a few things in your heart, and you shake it off once again. He said, no, I went out there and I sat up more than that one who sat up all night until the sun came up. Why? Because I'm in agony for my soul. I remember the days of being agony for my soul. Brother, I was afraid to eat because I thought I was going to choke and die and go to hell. I was afraid to get in the car and drive because I'd be afraid that somebody might hit me and send me into eternity.
Yeah.
When I ran out of this church 10 years ago, I got saved on my living room floor.
Praise God.
Just look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For why? For with the Lord there is mercy.
Yeah.
Look at it says, and with him is plenteous redemption. Plenteous. That means it's not going to run out. There's plenty for everybody. He can save everybody on this planet. Those who did live, those who are living, and those who are going to come, and still not run out.
Amen.
He's got plenty of redemption for every lost soul.
Amen.
Right. It ain't going to run out.
No, that's right.
He's got room for you at the cross. I don't know who said it. But look what it says here. And he shall redeem Israel. Look at this. You see what that says? Shall. Not maybe. Not hope so. Not maybe this could happen for me. He shall redeem. He shall redeem from all iniquities. From all iniquities. He's not working them, brother. He's too busy forgiving them.
Amen.
He's got plenty of redemption. To those who believe. You don't have to leave out of here the same way you came in here.
That's right.
Do you believe that he's got plenteous redemption? That he's willing to forgive your iniquities, your lawlessness, your sins? It's what the Bible says, hope in his word.
Amen. That's good. Wonderful.
Thank you, man.
Thank God.
Amen.
Hey. Thank the Lord.
This is an unusual meeting.
Amen.
Used to be the norm. Amen.
Right.
And I'm not that old, amen.
That's right.
But I've been, to God be the glory, in several meetings such as this. Brother John, it used to be the norm.
That's right.
Have a meeting like this. Have mourners. Staying up on through the night. Weeping with sinners. Praying for sinners. Appreciate that. Appreciate the meeting. That's sweet. I'll tell you what, it was a blessing last night to sit here and have a mama come in and have a burden for our boys. It's good.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I appreciate the Lord letting me be a part of his work. Born and raised in the hills and hollers of southwestern Virginia, the coal fields. I never would have dreamed that God would have saved me and given me the opportunity to come and minister to God's precious people.
Right.
It's an honor. Verse number one, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I cannot be quiet. I cannot shut up about what the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
He has been so good to me.
Yes, sir.
I praise him. A lot of people think I'm too noisy. Amen.
Good.
I look around sometime in our churches, even down south, amen, and older people that know something about old time. Well, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about worship.
Right.
I'm talking about they've spent time with the Lord before they got there. Amen. And they already been in tune with God.
Right,
I look around, amen, and I see it fastly dwindling away.
That's right.
But we ought to worship him. We ought to praise him. His praise ought to be in our mouths. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, it's amazing. You know, in the service yesterday morning, what a sweet time we had in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And you know, when you get to praising God and magnifying God, it encourages others to praise the Lord.
Yes.
Even the humble, amen, they hear of, and son, they get glad, amen, hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Amen. Amen.
How are you going to magnify him too much? How are you going to praise him too much? Brother Tim, I've been preaching for a good while now, but I've sat down many times, Bethany, and I said, you know, I didn't say everything I wanted to say about him. He's so wonderful. He's such a wonderful Savior. And then I get up again and to get opportunity, and I try to magnify him and extol him. And I sit down and I say, something else comes to my mind. I should have said this. I should have said, he's so wonderful. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord, verse number 4, and he heard me. You know, some of you say, I've been up here and prayed and talked to the Lord and prayed in my private time. He's took note of all of that. Well, my prayers ain't getting above the ceiling, amen. His eyes are open to our prayers.
That's it, brother.
And he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Oh,
they looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
That's right.
This poor man cried. I've took this text so many times. The cry of the poor man. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now listen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I don't know what it is to be involved. I got involved in too much sin, but I don't know what it is to be involved in sin of drunkenness. And I give God the glory. Some people, they find it so hard to quit. And they take their first, and they got to have another, and they've got, and they shaving lotion, I mean, whatever, embalming fluid, whatever to get them drunk, whatever to get them out of reality.
Right.
And it never seems to satisfy.
Nope.
But you get a taste of him.
Amen.
You want more and more and more. And what's out here in the world is bad for you. But what is in him? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's good for you.
Good. Help me, Jesus.
Let's go to Proverbs. I'm just kidding.
Help me.
Thank the Lord for allowing us to be here this week, brother.
I try.
Brother Asquith, thank you for allowing us to be part of this meeting.
Amen, brother.
And I thank God for this church, this congregation. You're always so good to me.
Amen.
And just so kind. And, you know, you love us so good. And the young people just love us so good. And we enjoy being here. We thank God for that.
Yes.
I was thinking yesterday, my daddy was a drunk. My daddy was a whoremonger. And somewhere after I was saved and preaching, God opened my eyes. And I was thinking about my childhood.
Yeah.
And it's just what the Lord showed me. I was interested in the fruit of your daddy's loins. If you look at our family tree, Brother Rose, there ain't no preachers in the family. Bunch of dope heads, a bunch of drunks, a bunch of whores, and a bunch of whoremongers and lesbians and sodomites.
Yeah.
But God was interested in the fruit of my daddy's loins.
Amen.
And I looked up here yesterday morning during that service, and I seen all those asses up here. And I couldn't help but to think, Brother John, that God's interested in the fruit of your loins.
Yes.
He's interested in that.
Amen.
God's interested in that. Amen. And I appreciate that about the Lord. I've never give God one thing to be interested in me about. Never give him nothing. But that's just the grace of God, the mercy of God. I'll read you something as the preacher asked out of the book of Psalms, chapter 73. Psalm of Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's about out.
Yeah.
He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here's a saved man, a man that God has saved. And he got his eyes off the Lord Jesus and started looking at the things, the people in this world. And he saw the fun, the pleasures. He saw the wild ass's colts on the hill having the time of their life. And he said, man, I'm missing out. They've got it made.
Yeah.
One of God's youngins looking at a lost and dying world going, they're having the time of their life. I envy them. They're having fun. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride. Brother John, I was doing some of those studies the other day, and I see that word plagued, and this is a commercial in here. But I see that word plagued, and I've seen that over in the book of Revelation, that although if you add to this book or take away from it, those plagues will be added to you, and your name will be blotted out and all those kind of things. And I got to thinking about all the weird, funky diseases that's in society today that doctors can't really even diagnose. Doctors can't really pinpoint it. They can give you a pill for it, but in 6 months later, the pill isn't working, and you have to go get another pill for it, and that thing just bounces. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you, those devils change forms. And those doctors can't pinpoint it. You say, what is it, preacher? I believe it's tampering with the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I believe we've tampered with the Word of God when those plagues has fell on America today.
Amen.
Better not mess with the Word of God. You better just let the chips lie where they fall. Amen. And just take God at His Word. Amen. Hey, agree with God against yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says. Amen. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. Trust me, I'm in the world of work. I see this stuff firsthand.
Yeah.
I see people that are wicked that prosper. I see people that are wicked that have nice things. I see people that are wicked that are just living free and having the time of their life. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongues walking through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of full cup are wrung out to them, they say, how doth God know? And there is knowledge in the Most High. There is knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I got right with God in vain. Why did I get right with God? Why do I suffer? Why do I have to travail?
Yeah.
Why do I have such burdens?
Why do I go through the mess I go through? It seems like I've done it all in vain.
This is a man of God.
Yeah, that's right. Sure is, brother.
This is a man of God looking at that lost and dying world. Going, why did I get right with God? Why am I living holy? They're the ones that's got it made.
Yeah.
Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Mm-hmm. Amen. I rejoice in the chastening hand of God Almighty.
That's right.
Amen. I tell you why my mom and daddy beat the devil out of me, because I was their boy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was their boy. Yeah. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Ain't it good to be in the house of God?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
It looks good to them while they're out there. And I tell you, if you ain't careful, you get your eyes off of Jesus and you'll get to looking at them. And it seems like, man, they've got it made. And I'm telling you, it seems like the people of this world is just living it up. And they are based on this world. But I'm going to tell you, when they pillow their head, they're pilling their head empty. They're pilling their head miserable. I tell you, it's good to come in the house of God and be refreshed and reminded and get a fresh glimpse of Jesus. Amen. It's good. Hey, he was talking about magnifying the Lord. I looked that word up not long ago, and it took me back to my school days where we would take those microscopes and we would have some little old something or another. I didn't pay much attention. I just wanted to play with a device. But I tell you, you could zoom in on that thing, and that thing you couldn't see with a natural eye. Man, you could see it was magnified. I said, praise God, that's what we ought to do with Jesus. We're to just make him real big. I tell you, it draws him in real close. We ought to make much of him. You say, why, preacher? So that we can come in once in a while and be reminded of the goodness of God. We can be refreshed in the Lord. Hey, child of God, this world ain't our own. We're heading out of here. Thank God. Hey, there's a brighter day coming. We get to walk on streets of gold. We get to live with Jesus. Thank God, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Hey,
right. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I had one of my sons, thank God, called me. And they bothered. And I'm glad they bothered.
Good.
Thank God for children that are bothered for not living for God. And their mamas bothered them. Their mamas bothered them. And I told her, I said, you get saved, you'll bother some people. Amen. 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 You'll just be like that key in that little keyhole. Turning them things, Brother John. Yeah, amen. You'll just be hitting them buttons in their life. They'll see some things in you that they never saw. Boy, them children are calling me.
Amen.
This is what one of my boys told me the other day. He said, Dad, he said, I never knew things like I did till I got to high school. He said, I was oblivious to what was going on in this world. He said, I got to high school. He said, I heard them boys talk, and I got in that dugout, and I heard them boys talk. He said, and a whole different world opened up to me. He said, Dad, I was just all ears, just listening to what they had to say. He said, in the back of my mind, he said, I was going, man, I'm missing out. These boys is having the time of their life. I ain't never got to do nothing like that. I ain't never got to see nothing like that. I've never got to go to places like that. He said, in the back of my mind, I got to wanting to go to them places and see them things and do that stuff that I never. He said, it seemed like they were having a time. He said, Dad, he said, I've done my dead level best to get involved in that stuff. He said, I'm 30 years old today, Dad. He said, and there's nothing to it.
Amen.
He said, I thought I was missing out. He said, Dad, he said, I'm so full of misery and woe. He said, I'm so empty. He said, it's left me in such a mess. He said, there's nothing out there. There's nothing in this world that really satisfies. He said, man, I thought they was having a good time. He said, I thought I was going to miss out. He said, I didn't miss out on a stinking thing, Dad. It's just added misery and woe and loneliness in my life. And he said, Dad, please pray for me. He said, I pillow my head each night thinking about what I could be and what I should be for the glory of God. He said, but I had to step off into this world. He said, and it's got strongholds on me. He said, and it's miserable, Dad.
Amen.
I was an idiot, and I'm done. I was an idiot. I was a fool. I was raised under some of the greatest preaching that you'll ever hear. I was raised under some of those great men that we mentioned. Brother Sammy started impacting my life as a seven or eight year old boy. I'd walked in the back of Calvary Baptist Church, and that man of God was a preaching. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew he had something that I wanted. When I seen that man walking across that place up there preaching, I didn't know what he had. But I said, man, whatever it is, I sure would like to have some of that. As a little boy. Man, listen to some of them, Oliver Green and Harold Seitler and Lester Olof, and just man of God after man of God. And then I come up in my teenage years, and I was such a blooming fool. I wanted to taste sin. Like an idiot, I went off and I did my thing living in that hog pen. And I tell you, man, now I got born again and I realize I ain't missed a thing. I ain't missed a stinking thing. I remember waking up in my puke. I remember waking up in my blood. I remember waking up with my clothes tore off of me. I remember waking up in a jailhouse. I remember waking up in a hospital bed. So, preacher, what'd you miss? I missed all that. No lawyer fees, no court fees. Praise God. I really missed out, didn't I? I mean, I really missed out by going with God. God, you kidding me? What a fool I was. Thank God for the house of God. Bring us back to a place and let us remember. Praise God, this ain't the end, son. There's a better day coming.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Well, I wish I would have went first now, having to follow all that.
Help him, Jesus.
Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. The Bible says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, and the poor, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will not never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it. With thy hand the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand. The Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. You know, he said there in verse number 11, he had said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. You know, that's the state of a lot of lost people. You know, that's the state of a lot of religious lost people. God has forgotten what I've done. Brother Asquith, he came and preached at our church not too long ago, and he preached a message on forgiving yourself. But you've not been forgiven of God. You know how what we've learned to do with religion? We've learned how to forgive ourselves. Yes, sir. Let me tell you what the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 1. The Bible said, this is the message which we have heard of him, Jesus Christ. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Right.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Right.
You're either of the light or you're against the light.
Amen.
You're either of God or if you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. John, what's he saying? He's saying there's a division. Whenever I heard Jesus preach, there's a division in the gospel. There's a division of your family, that he set variance against fathers and mothers, daughters and mothers, and fathers and his sons and such. There's a division of fellowship. God don't have fellowship with darkness. The Bible said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He told us to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and they will not come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. I tell you why you will not come, because you love the darkness. I tell you why you will not come, because you hate the things of God. I remember when I was a teenage boy and a child, I couldn't care less about God, couldn't care less about the Bible, couldn't care less about church. I tell you what, I couldn't care less about any of it. But thank God one day, Jesus Christ became as real to me as the flesh on my bones and the air that I breathe. Oh, he became real to me. I said it just the other day. I saw the Son for who he was. Well, let me tell you something. This is what I'm trying to get to. God hadn't forgotten.
That's right. Amen.
Whenever Ahab and Jezebel went and grabbed Naboth from his vineyard, and they took that innocent man and they shed his blood and they did what they did against him. They lived for a few years after that. I imagine in their heart they said, well, God's forgotten what we've done. God's forgotten what we've done. We'll be all right, but you know what? They dropped Jezebel out of the tower of her palace and she dropped dead and the dogs licked her blood like God said would happen. You know what, Jehu, God put it in his heart to go up against Ahab, and Ahab was slain, ladies and gentlemen, in battle. And then all the sons of Ahab were slain. Why? Because God didn't forget.
Amen.
You might try to forgive yourself, but God hasn't forgotten what you've done.
Right.
Whenever David went out against Uriah the Hittite and laid with his wife and did all that ungodliness, and then had Uriah killed. You know, I imagine David sat in his palace for a little while and thought, well, God's forgotten what I've done. I've forgiven myself. But you know what? There was a prophet by the name of Nathan. He came into his house and he said, David, there's a man that was out in had one sheep. Another man that had a bunch of them, he came in. And he took that man and he slew him and took his one sheep. And David, he said, where is this man? We'll kill him. Nathan reminded, thou art the man.
That's right.
Thou art the man. I tell you what we try to do. We try to forgive ourselves. But what you were 10 years ago is what you are today. If you don't know Jesus. What you are 5 years ago is what you are today if you don't know Jesus. There's some benefits. We've been preaching about these benefits here out of the book of Psalms, the benefits that the saints of God get. There's some benefits that we get that you sinners don't have. I can go on my knees at any moment. I can commit a sin, go on my knees, and get forgiveness with God. I can do that. I can do that. Where in the Bible does it say a sinner can do that? God holds you accountable for every sin you've committed from now since the time you were a little child. God holds you accountable. When you stand before a holy and a righteous God, the sins that you committed 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, God still holds you accountable for it. I tell you what we've done. We've learned how to come to church. We've learned how to paint it up a little bit. We've learned how to ease our conscience.
That's right.
We've learned how to do all that stuff, my friend, but we're still just as wicked as hell. We're as wicked as we've ever been. The lust of your father ye will do. I tell you what we've done. We've made a mockery of the Son of God. That's what we've done.
Lord, help us.
Made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can forgive you of your sins. And for you to say he can't, you're a liar. We've made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Well, you know what the accusation of the world is? That God's a liar. That's the accusation of the world. That God is a liar. Why? Because they believe not on the only begotten Son of God. What did he come to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We've made God a liar because we believe not the record that God gave of the Son.
Right.
That's good.
How would you like to stand before God calling him a liar? He won't forgive you. Is he a liar? He won't forgive you. Is he a liar?
Mom.
That's right.
Is he a liar? God forbid. God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. God has power to forgive you and 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 forgive you. God has power. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has power to cleanse us from every stain. The blood of Jesus Christ has power. The Bible said, therefore, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us, my friend.
That's right.
We've made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to forgive us. Let me tell you, you may try to forget all the little things that you've done God hadn't forgotten. But I'll tell you this much. He can forgive you. And he can make it gone. And he can clean you. You won't get it by religious service. You won't get it just by going to church. You won't get it. I thank God that I wasn't raised with some of the mindset that people have. I didn't try to cover up my sin with religion and going to church. I went to Jesus Christ is what I did. I just went to him, and I had to understand and listen, children, that God hates sin. God hates sin. I had that understanding from a little child. And when I went out and committed sin, I knew God hated what I did. And when I went and committed it, I'd be so afraid that God was going to do things to me. Because I knew God hated sin.
Amen.
I'm glad I could go to the feet of Jesus, and I didn't have to forgive myself. But Jesus would forgive me, and it could all be gone. The wicked, they say, God's forgotten.
Yeah.
He didn't see it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place.
That's right.
Behold the evil and the good.
Amen.
Hey, well, God's been in this.
Yes, blessed.
Yeah, I think the Lord has sure been in. You know, I thought of what Brother Zach said about we as the saints of God can confess our sins. And I'm going to say this. As a young Christian, that verse was often a snare to me. because I thought I could just walk in and say what I'd done and it was forgiven. I knew that wasn't working because it wouldn't restore my fellowship. But Pastor Hain said it better than anybody I've ever heard it said. He said, in the Bible, a confession, for example, the confession of our faith, okay, is to say something in accordance with the Word of God and how God sees it. So when you go to God and you confess your sins, you state them how God sees it, how the Word of God sees it. Then He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Okay? That's one of the I'll tell you, it was such a relief to me when I heard Pastor Haynes say that. Thought, boy, if I had only heard that as a young Christian and understood that. You know, it's that recognition that what you have, and Zach, that was right on. That's good. Okay? So it's a power the Christian has, and that lost person doesn't have it. He can confess his sins from here to eternity, and he'll never catch up. Okay? Never catch up. You know, I remember one time picking blackberries in Vermont, and I had Carl Michael with me. We ran across a bear fumin. What's a fumin? It's the old English word for a bear turd. And the problem was it was still hot and steaming. And that bear was picking blackberries. And what'd you do? I told the boys, keep making noise, boys. Don't be quiet. In other words, a black bear is not a dangerous bear unless you scare it. Okay? Get in between it and its cubs or something like that. But how many of those fumids, bear turds, did I need to see to know it was a bear?
Yeah.
All right? And, you know, if I go out to a cage and it had rabbits in it, I don't need to examine every single little rabbit bean to understand there was rabbits in that cage. All right? That's what there was there. And you don't need to confess all your sins to understand you're a sinner. Just one sin itself. Again, you go down there to the Allegheny County Jail, and there's people in there that really haven't done all that much wrong.
Yeah.
And then there's some of the guys in there done wrong all their lives. But when they stood before that judge and were convicted of a crime, he didn't really care whether or not they'd paid their taxes in 2014. He didn't really care if they did the speed limit running through Cuba last year. He didn't care. What he cared is you broke that law there, and you're in the same jail as all those other nasty
That's
people.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, and it's hard for him to understand. It's hard for him to see that. And sinners, you know, again, self-righteousness is never, oh, I gave money, God will save me. No, it never works that way. The Pharisee said, I'm not like that man. Self-righteousness is when you set yourself as the standard. Okay?
That's right.
And say, well, at least I've never done that. You know, my brother now, he steals from my mom. I'd never steal from my mom, all right? You know, and that's where self-righteousness is. And again, three continents, men with puke still on them, okay? You'll hear that out of them. You think that guy, yeah, he's proud of the stuff he hasn't done. He looks around in this, you know, he'd look around in this church and see people who've done things he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, and it's self-righteousness.
Yes.
Okay? And yet he doesn't understand just any one of those sins. You know, D.L. Moody said this. He said, you know, God kicked out Adam out of paradise for one sin. It was over. It was done. Said, if you're out there in a boat, how many holes do you have to have? Okay? Sink that boat. Okay, just one good hole. All right, that's what warfare is all about, naval. Put one good hole in that thing. See how good that battleship floats now. All right, and you know, and that's what it's about. Now, go with me to Psalm 116. I used to marvel at this opening verse because it said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. It's a conditional love there. Okay? There's one thing, you know, love the Lord. You're told to love the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. There becomes a development and a relationship with God where you begin to love him because you have prayed things to him. And he did hear those things. And he did care for you. He did. You know, sometimes I'll tell some of the people in this church, and I think people know, it's no secret, we have some people who have had some awful things go on in their life. Really awful things. You know, I remember when I went to elementary school, and, you know, and I used to have friends and that, but, you know, I'd go home, I had a troubled home. And you'd go to school and realize there's people who didn't have a troubled home. And you could just tell the difference. And, you know, they'd play together and games, and girls would bring little Barbie dolls and little dolls, and, you know, they'd wear little party dresses and that. But we had people in this church, when they were little girls, there were no party dresses. There were no little fun things like that. That never happened with them. Boys that didn't go to the birthday parties and, you know, get to be cool like the other guys or anything like that. And, you know, they sat too often alone and just bittered and probably from time to time called out to whoever they thought God was. And then bitter because he never heard. And you know what? He did. That's why you're here.
Right.
That's why you're here, because he did hear. He did hear. He heard your voice and he heard your supplications.
Amen.
Okay? I saw a thing the other day said by a worldly man, and I thought that worldly man understands. And he said this. He said, if God takes far longer to answer your prayers than you think he should, it's probably because he's going to give you exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond all that you ask or think. I thought to myself, that's happened to me. Where certain prayers that I've prayed just took so long. Prophecy comes in three forms. There's immediate answer to prophecy. Tomorrow at this time, so much wheat will be sold for this. Okay? It's immediate, right within that time. Then there's prophecy that happens much later in the lifetime of everyone there. And when prophets had both of those right and spoke everything in accordance with the word of God, you could bank when they gave millennial prophecy. You could say, that's what the millennium's going to be like. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be like, because they had it on that short term, they had it in that medium term, they spoke according to the word of God. Prayer, God teaches you prayer like that. Okay? There are some prayers that get answered very quickly. They just do.
Right.
And you kind of marvel at it over how quickly. And then there's some that you'll pray over for a lifetime.
Yes, sir.
And then there's some that will be answered after your death. Not that you're praying them in heaven, but you prayed them on this earth, and they'll be prayed long after you're dead. They'll be answered long after you're dead. Okay. But God teaches you that relationship here on this earth to love him because he heard your prayer and your supplication. And you love him because of that. Now, verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now, there's the definition of calling upon the name of the Lord. It's not this idea, Jesus saved me. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere in the Bible is that what calling upon the name of the Lord means. A group of Bedouins would meet in the desert in those days. What God do you call upon? We call upon Moloch, our mighty God. We call upon the name of the Lord. Okay? That's the God we call upon. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, Joel said. The New Testament says saved. Saved, all, no matter what context it's in, it always means delivered.
Yeah.
Delivered. Are you saved? Are you delivered is what that's asking.
Amen.
Okay? Are you delivered? And says, I'll call upon him as long as I live, because he heard me, okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved when? All of Romans 8, 9, and 10 is talking about the second coming, the rapture of Jesus Christ, okay? The redemption of the purchased possession. Who is he going to come and get? He's going to come and get the people that call upon the name of the Lord. Those like this, those are the ones he's going to come and get. Okay, it's not telling you a mechanic of how to get saved, because how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? So we take all these little poor schleps and we bring them down here. They don't believe on Jesus Christ. Christ, and you're telling them, all right, pray this prayer. All right, that's what this is. Okay, you're saved. Stamp 666. Go next. All right. Yeah. And, you know, and they wander out there blind and miserable.
That's right.
We've heard a lot about preaching and coming, and I've loved that. But a theme with Brother McVeigh and Pastor Hain, and it's just good. But you know what it says in the book of Revelation? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. What Spirit? Spirit of God. What Bride? That new Jerusalem that God has made, where he has bodies eternal in the heavens. Never created, never going to end. They're part of God himself. The Apostle Paul talked about those bodies, eternal. And by the foreknowledge of God, he knows who will live in those bodies. And they're calling. They're calling. And God has never, ever overridden the will of anyone. The Calvinists can't understand that because they have a peanut God. Well, if I can control everything, I'm just not going to be in charge. Okay? God forbid. You ever had a boss like that? Never had a boss that just had to, every little thing is got to be done exactly my way. You know, the best bosses in the world are the ones that give you a task and then let you go do it and kick your butt every time that you do it wrong because you didn't use what you had. Okay? The best military leaders. Why Robert E. Lee was such a great military commander, because at one point he had great lieutenants under him.
Right.
Okay? And he could tell them. It's one of the things that killed him at Gettysburg. He'd lost some of those great lieutenants, and he would give men stuff to do, and they floundered. They weren't doing it right. Okay?
Right.
General Grant, when he was in the West, he had great lieutenants. He could tell them, you go here, you go there. Jeffrey Perret, British historian, said there's probably no other general in any war who could have ever been taken out of one major army, put in front of another one where he doesn't know any of his lieutenants, and taken over and done what General Grant did. Probably not another one that could do it. Because you're giving men orders and you're expecting them to go out and do it, and you don't know their abilities. You don't know what they have. When he was in the Western Army, he knew even their first sergeants. He knew their lieutenants. Lee knew every man in those armies, and he knew exactly what they were. You go look at what happened in that Civil War when you switched generals around. It didn't work well, okay? But the best bosses, the best military leaders, are men who will give you a task and then let you handle it as you should, and supervise you and watch it. That's what God's done to the world. He's given you a task. He's given you the word of God on how to do it. And he's commanded you to obey those words. But he'll never force you to do it. Okay? He'll go to great lengths. We do the Lord's table here. You know what my Bible says? That there's many weak and sickly among you. Who? The church of God.
Right.
Do you realize there's some people who are ill for the glory of God?
That's right.
That's what it said about the man that was born blind. That was for the glory of God. And there's others that are weak and sickly because they take the Lord's table in self-righteousness. I don't always know the difference in that. I don't know what the difference is. I just preach the word of God, and what I trust is that that great God who can read the heart is doing that. I remember when I first sat under real Bible preaching. I mean, real Bible preaching. And you know what began to happen? I think you're going to disturb him here. Oh my goodness, thoughts I hadn't thought in years began to come up. Began to stir. The Apostle Paul said, and if all prophesy and one come in amongst you, and he's unlearned and unbeliever, the thoughts of his heart are made manifest, and he'll fall down and worship God in you of a truth, okay? Why? Because you're taking the word of God and telling him what God's going to do. That's prophecy, okay? You're telling him what he's going to do. And now I've had people come in here and hate that process.
Oh, yeah.
They hate it, okay? Because they have gone ahead and they, you know, they take that old bucket that was on the back porch and they let it settle a long time, and it looks like clear water on top now. You've let it settle for a long time. Nobody stirred that water for a long time. So they're judging it, thinking to themselves, boy, anybody could drink out of this. Oh, it's good, you know. You look at that family and think, I don't think I want to drink out of that, okay? Don't think I want to drink out of that water. You look at the bitterness of their lives. No, I don't think I want to drink out of that water, okay? You listen to judgmentalism. No, I don't think I want to drink out of that water. And then the preaching comes along and it stirs that water. Suddenly that sediment on the bottom, it starts coming up, all right? Woo! Then the thoughts of his heart are made manifest, okay? You know what I found? I found that very cleansing thing. You know why? Because, A, I could never clean that water up. Myself, I'd just probably pour it all out, scrub the bucket. I've had buckets I've had to throw out, all right? Scrub that bucket with some oil. You know what God did? He made the water clean. Purified my heart by faith, all right?
Amen.
Yes, sir, he did, all right?
Amen.
All right. Verse 3 says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. You know, I find many times in the life of David where the sorrows of death compassed him all about. I find many times like that. But I never found a time in his life where he felt the pain of hell. Never found that time. You know what? We've passed past David, haven't we? We've stepped into prophecy. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Folks come here, know why his feet was falling. Because the center of the earth is where hell is. It's the center of gravity and it turns. It's a bottomless pit. You never hit the bottom. It was never hit. It's a bottomless pit. Whoever this is was in there. But God delivered his feet from falling. You know what he said in verse 9? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's why I make the statement, if I woke up tomorrow in hell, I would laugh because I cannot stay there. I will walk before the land of the living. You know what the next verse says? I believed, therefore have I spoken. You know what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13? We having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, he quoted. What is that spirit of faith? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's why it's impossible that I should go to hell. It's impossible that I should have the second death. It's impossible because this man, Christ Jesus, indwells me. He is in me. I have his promises. Okay? Go with me real quickly to Zechariah 11. Zechariah is two books before Matthew. There's nothing I've loved better than some of those old meetings where different men of God would take a short time, men that really had something with God. And you know, and there's nothing more grievous to see it when they all get up there, a bunch of dogs trying to hit each other's fire hydrant, you know, and you'll see that, you know, and it's just grievous and each one trying to do this. But you know what God's done this morning? He's taken every man that's come up here, taken that man's private walk with God, the things that God has shown that man, and he's manifested them through the man. And it's been a wonderful thing for us to hear this morning. Yeah, Zechariah 9 is what I'm looking for. I'm not sure if that's what I told you. Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth the prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. By the blood of thy covenant, there is a fountain. It comes from the book of Zechariah, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty sins. They're gone. I want to show you that verse in the New Testament. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know why? Because he was in that pit where there is no water. He was brought out through the blood of the everlasting covenant. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me ask you a question. Had he died yet when he said that? No. Had he resurrected yet when he said that? No. Had he taken his blood into heaven yet when he said that? No. And yet you get preachers who say, see, that's all there is to it, the death, burial, and resurrection. No, it's the death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. And that's why when Jesus resurrected, he had to tell all his disciples the verses in the Psalms and the law that dealt with him. They had to understand the scriptures to understand what happened. This is a man that baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He was baptized into death. He went into the flames of hell, and I went with him. He delivered those prisoners from that pit where there is no water by the blood of that covenant. I'll ask you one other thing. If he was delivered through the blood of that covenant, who took the blood to heaven? Figure that one out, you'll understand why in Psalm chapter 18 it's dark when he's on the cross.
Right.
And the earth shook, and there was darkness. Okay? You'll understand that. Somebody had to collect the blood. Before Aaron ever was able to offer sacrifices, Moses sprinkled the blood. Who sprinkled that blood? For Jesus. So that he could come out of that pit, and that we could come out of that pit, so that Jesus Christ could then be Aaron and come up and offer his own blood. You better go study the laws of God. You better go study those things that tell you who that is.
Right.
You better understand what Moses is a picture of. He's a picture of the Holy Ghost,
right.
The one that gives the law,
right.
The one that does the judging, the one that does the intercession with God. Okay? You better understand that. Understand that Aaron then is the high priest. Okay? And that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This is when devils are gnashing on him. This is when devils are rejoicing because they've won. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Apostle Paul said, we have in that same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He gave me that faith. Unto whom does God give saving faith? Unto repentant sinners. You come with such feeble faith as you have. And you're required to. Let him that heareth say, come. The bride, the spirit and the bride say, come. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. And then it says, let him that heareth say, come. You know what the problem is? We have people who come to this altar, but they don't hear.
Right.
They have ears, but they hear not. Jesus said that. They have ears, but they hear not. Because if they ever hear the Spirit and the Bride say, come. You know what they'll say? Come. come. You know what will happen? Jesus will come. It'll be settled. It'll be over.
Amen.
It'll be done.
Yes, sir, sure.
You'll have that same spirit of faith. You'll believe, therefore you'll speak. Man speaketh out of the abundance of his heart. That's why it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's not that, all right, I will say these words. That's what they do in the Catholic churches. That's what they do in the high Episcopalian churches. Get the kids to say these words. That's what parents do. They go home, make you feel bad. I'll say these words, all right? All right, now you have it. Stamp 666 on the forehead. You're fine. Now we'll teach you the little ways to act just right. I act just right in church. Oh, I'm not like the other mean kids. Whatever else. And you go out there and there's no faith.
Right.
No salvation. No deliverance from sin. No holiness. No hope.
Amen.
The Lord said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. I told you before, I lived amongst Mormons. Once in a while, I'll see a family in a fundamental Baptist church living almost as good as the Mormons do. Supper at the exact right time. Daddy working. Mama taking care of things. The kids dressing right. They're learning their psalms. They're learning things at home. They're learning the little songs. They're coming to the house of God. They're doing all that. Well, those nobody does it better than the Mormons. No one. No one. So I say, if I had to go to hell, I'd want to go as a Mormon. Because at least the life is good. I wouldn't want to go as a drunkard. Wouldn't want to go as a fornicator. Those are miserable, awful lives. Terrible. If the Lord said, no, you're not in the elect, you got to go to hell, I'd go join the Mormon church. Just so I could tithe and have the blessings of that tithe. Just so I could teach my children to stay out of fornication, have that blessing of children that aren't just completely mixed up and all that. I'd want to do it that way. And every once in a while, I'll see a family living almost that good, fundamental Baptist churches. And I'm glad. I'm glad for that family doing that. I'm glad that they got that down. But they don't ever need to mistake that for salvation.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes,
it's not the same thing. Okay? Brother McVeigh, I believe God was in that.
It's good.
Amen.
You ladies, wives, preachers' wives, of the men that spoke this morning, would you come sing a song? Grab a hymnal. You sing an a cappella. Number 460. I believe be a comfort to the saints, a strength to those struggling. But if you, preachers' wives, could come sing 460 together.
lot of sweet and dear group of ladies stay a long time. Out of my hands this morning, so of every man who that which is right in his own eyes. You go. If you feed children. You stay. And pray. You want to sweet your wife. As far as servants were dismissed, of every man who that which is right in his own eyes. Just pray that God shows us what we need to do. We're dismissed.